Today's shiur is Daf Lamed Zayin Masechta Pesachim, and we're going to begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the bottom line. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Oifen Pas Over BePesach. You're not allowed to make thick bread on Pesach. What exactly that means, we'll explain soon. Divrei Beis Shammai, or Beis Hillel Matirim. Beis Hillel say you may. The Kama Pas Over. What's called a thick matzah? Amar Rav Huna Tefach. A matzah which is a tefach thick is considered a Passover. Where do we get the number tefach? She came at Sinai Belechem upon him tefach. Every week in the Beis Hamikdash, they had the lechem upon him, which was put on the shulchan, and it had to be changed, rotated every week. And the lechem upon him was not allowed to be chametz, and the lechem upon him was a tefach thick. How do I know that the lechem upon him was a tefach thick? Because, as is implied by the name, upon him is a face, and a face is generally the size of a tefach. Maskla Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, how can we bring a proof from lechem upon him to matzah? Im Omrubim's reason, who baked the lechem upon him? Beis Karmo. They were experts in building, in baking, and they knew how to make it that it shouldn't be chametz. Yom B'Sheinah's reason, matzah is baked by everybody. They're not necessarily able to do it properly. The Gemara Masech, the Menachas explains that the dough, the flour that was used for the lechem upon him went through a very significant process. And since it went through that process of rubbing and banging, it retarded the fermentation, that it should become chametz. Yomer Pasha Enamela, the flour, the grain used for regular matzah doesn't go through that process. Im Omer Be'etzim Yaveshim, if they said it regarding dry wood, because as Rashi reminds us, all of the wood that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was collected by Tezva Ba'av. And it was, why? Because the wood was collected in the summer when the wood is very dry, and therefore it makes a very hot oven that will prevent chimutz. The wood baked used for regular matzah is not necessarily that dry, it's moist. The oven used for the lechem upon it was very hot. The oven used necessarily for matzah is not that hot. The oven used to bake the lechem upon him was a metal oven, which is a very hot oven. Oven used for regular matzah could be an earthenware oven, which is not that hot. Rabbi Yirmi Ba'aba asked my Rebbe privately, Omanu, who does that mean? Rav. And Ikeda Amri, Rabbi Yirmi Ba'rav Omer, Sheilus is Rebbe Be'yichud. I asked my Rebbe, and who does that mean? Manu Rebbein HaKadosh. My Passover, what does Passover mean? Nothing to do with the thickness of matzah, Pas Meruba. It means baking a lot of bread. And this has nothing to do now with Pesach. It's a Hilchus Yontif question. The way Rashi and Tosfos explain the question is that on Yontif we know that we're allowed to do what's L'tzorich HaEchel Nefesh, what you need to eat. So if somebody needs a bread, a challah, you're allowed to bake it on Yontif. But let's say, this is the way Tosfos and Rashi explain, somebody wants to do the following. He really wants to break 10 loaves of bread. He only needs one. But he says, you know, when you bake many loaves in the oven, they're all better. Why? Because there's less room for the heat to spread, and therefore the other loaves will be better. Are you allowed to do that or not? So if my car like Passover, why is it called Passover? Mishum the Nefisha Belisha. Because you have to knead more dough. Vibais Emra, the Asri, the high Tana, where this Tana lived, the Pas Meruba, Karle, Passover. With a lot of bread is called Passover. My Tana. So what's the reason that we should or should not be allowed to bake it? Mishum de Katarach, Terech de Leitzarach. The extra nine breads, Imishum de Katarach, Terech Leitzarach, that the problem is a Yontif problem, that I'm baking 10 breads and I only need one. My year of Pesach. So this has nothing to do with Pesach. Like we said, it's a Yontif Shaila. I feel be Yontif. Every Yontif should have the Shaila. Says the Gemara Enochanami. This has nothing to do with Pesach. He's talking about he was in Pesach, so he asked the question, am I allowed to bake extra bread? But truthfully, the same question would come up in Sukkot and in Shavuos. You're not allowed to bake extra bread or by silmatirim. So again, the way we learned, and this is the way the Shulchan Aruch says is pshat, Rashi and Tosfos pshat, according to Beis Hillel, even though I only need one loaf of bread, I could say, I could go bake 10, and even though the other 9 I'm going to use during the week, which normally you're not allowed to bake on Yontif for during the week, saying my goal was to make that one loaf of bread better. And Beis Shammai says you can't do that. It's a harama, which is awesome. The Ran and the Ramban have a totally different explanation. They say that Beis Hillel would never let you do that kind of a harama. To go bake 10 loaves of bread when you really only need one and say that I'm baking the other 9 because that one should be better, nobody would allow you. The issue is that I'm baking bread on Yontif because I need the bread on Yontif. But Beis Hillel says, so as much as you need, go bake. You need 10 loaves, bake 10 loaves. You need 20 loaves, go bake 20 loaves. Beis Shammai says, if you're going to spend your whole day baking bread, what kind of a Yontif is it? So Beis Shammai says, even if you need the bread, bake less than you need, because we don't want you to be matriach yourself more than you have to, or try to eliminate tircha on Yontif. But as I said, the Shulchan Aruch explains, like Rashi and Tosfos, and like the Beis Hillel, that a person could bake extra bread if he says that the bread that he's baking, that he does need for Yontif, will be better. Certainly, if he doesn't need any of the loaves, it's awesome. However, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah explain that was in their ovens. Because as I said earlier, their ovens didn't have such a strong heat, so that it was good to have more breads in the oven. It would spread the heat evenly, and every bread would be better. Our ovens, which are more sophisticated, the Mishnah Berurah says we don't have the heter Beis Hillel. You can't say that by adding loaves to your oven, you're going to have better bread, and therefore this heter Beis Hillel should very reluctantly be used. But we go back to what we began the shiur with. What about the thickness of matzah? That the Gemara said we don't know. So how thick may matzah be or not be? So the halacha is that matzah should certainly not be thicker than a tefach. If you have matzah that's thicker than a tefach, you shouldn't use it. I never saw a matzah that thick. A matzah less than a tefach is b'di'evit okay, but the Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ur Halacha says a person should try to use matzah as thin as possible. And in fact, there's a raya midaraisa for that. Avram Avinu told Sarah, Lushi vasi ugois. When the Malachim came to visit her, knead the dough and make cake. So there's two questions on that pasuk. Number one is, obviously, if you're going to make bread, you have to knead the dough. You can't make dough without kneading it. Furthermore, why do you say usi ugois? He should have said a si lechem, make bread. What was Avram Avinu telling Sarah? Lushi, go quickly, knead it very quickly. It shouldn't become chametz. Vasi ugois, make the bread look like ugois, like crackers, not like bread, because matzah should be very thin. This is also a makar where hand matzahs are made round. People always ask, where is the minhag for making hand matzahs round? Because it says asi ugois, crackers were generally round, so that's why hand matzah was traditionally made round. Although the Pesach can say you shouldn't spend time trying to make the matzahs round because time could cause chimutz. Tana Rabbanan, yoytzim and pas nakia, you could use matzah made out of white flour or b'hadra. Hadra is where we spoke about yesterday, flour, grain that still has the sheaf around it, whole wheat. But it's interesting, I saw in Shulchan Aruch that says even though you're allowed to use whole wheat, you have to be very careful not to have matzah, I guess in those times the people were poor, that's only sheaf. Let's say matzah is only made out of the bran, that would be not kosher. Or besurikin hamtsuyarim bepesach. Surikin hamtsuyarim means matzah formed into a shape. The afapish amru ain oisim surikin hamtsuyarim bepesach. Even though you're not really lechatchila supposed to use matzahs that are formed into a shape, but you yoytze if you did. Amr Yehuda dovez ashal baisim ben zunin lechachamim. Baisim ben zunin asked the chachamim, mebnei ma amru ain oisim surikin hamtsuyarim bepesach. Why are you not allowed to make matzah with a shape on Pesach? Amr, so they told him, while you're making the shape, you spend time, or mechamtsa, and it can become chametz. Amalem, so Baisa Ben Zuni said, Efshi is sena b'tfus. Make a mold, and the shape will be in a mold, and you won't lose any time in making the shape. V'yikvenu, and like that, you'll have the shape. V'yikvenu kivin, you'll make the exact shape. Amalai, so they told him, Yoimru kol asurikin asurin. All shapes are asur, because shapes are normally made by hand. Take time, and we're concerned that's going to become chametz. V'suriki b'sisus, but you b'sisus, you have molds, will be matarim. We can't set up a situation where some shaped matzahs are mutter and some shaped matzahs are asr. So that's why Chazal, because of loy plug, said all matzahs are asr. Amar v'lazaber tzadik. Pamachs nechnasti acha abu l'beis Rav Gamliel. I once followed my father into Rav Gamliel's home. V'vil afan of sirikim tziram Pesach. They brought him shaped matzahs in Pesach. Amarti abu l'kach amru chacham. I said, Father, didn't Chazal say Ein oisim sirikim tziram Pesach? That you're not supposed to have shaped matzahs. Amrli, so he told me, B'ni, loy shakol adam amru. When did Chazal say that you're not supposed to have shaped matzah? El, only by shel nechtoim, by professional bakers. Loy shakol adam amru, el shel nechtoim. That means professional baker can't have shaped matzahs, a private person can. Why? Because since a professional baker wants to have a nice job, otherwise people won't come to his bakery. So there we're concerned that he's going to spend time making the shape. However, a private individual is not so particular, and that's why it's mutter. Ikid Amri, different version, just the opposite. A nachtoim, a professional baker, he can afford and he has molds. So since he has molds, he'll do it right. Private individual in his home, he doesn't have molds, and that's why we're concerned. Amar Rabbi Yosi, oisin tzurikin kamin rikikin, we can make him like thin wafers, the ain oisin tzurikin kamin gluskos, but not like cake. Halacha lamaisa, says in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't make shapes on matzah. But we all know that in the matzah, there's the holes, and the holes are made with a radle, with some sort of a shaper. So how come that's mutter? So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mishnah Berurah says, since the purpose of making those holes is not to make a shape or a design, the entire purpose is only because it bakes better, and the person isn't particular how that looks, so that's not called making a shape. Magen Avraham asks a very fundamental shaila. He says, the entire problem that the Gemara says here about making shaped matzahs is because we're worried that baking it and losing time could cause chimetz. So he says, if you have a matzah with a shape, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it on Shabbos, Yontif, because halacha is just like you're not allowed to eat a cake with letters on it. So forget about the problem of chimetz. You would never be able to eat this matzah on Yontif or Shabbos. So there are three answers given to this question. There may be more. I saw three answers. The Magen Mishnah explains the Gemara that we're not speaking that there is a shape on top of the matzah. We're speaking about that the matzah is in a certain design. When is there a halacha that you're not allowed to eat something on Shabbos as a problem with a cake? Is if you have a cake and on top of it you say happy birthday and now you cut the letters. Here it's not that there's something on top of the matzah. If you have a cake in a shape, you're allowed to cut that cake. There's no problem. That's the Magen Mishnah's answer. The Magen Avraham answers that when is there a problem with letters on top of a cake? That's if the letters and the cake are not the same material. You have the cake, this cake, and then you have cream, the letters made out of cream. But if the cake and the letters are one and the same, there's no problem of breaking letters. Here we're not talking that you're putting something else on top of the matzah. The matzah itself is the shape on top of it, so there's no problem. The Chazon Ish says a different teretz. Chazon Ish says that only by words and letters is there a problem. Here we're not talking about words or letters. We're talking about designs, shapes. Then there's no such a problem. According to the Chazon Ish, if you have a cake that has a design on top of it, it would be mutter to cut it on Shabbos. It's only letters that are a problem. Before we begin the next sugya, we have to review that we know that when somebody makes a dough, he has to remove challah. It used to be you had to give the challah to the kohen. Nowadays we burn it. The Mishnah, the Gemara now, is going to discuss exactly what is considered a dough, what is not considered a dough. And Tosfos Rama Beis quotes Rabbeinu Tam, very bichidish, very bichumra, that whenever you make a dough, blila ava means a dough, that means it's not necessarily a bread dough, a cake dough, if you made like a chocolate cake, a chocolate filled cake, that's called a blila ava, that dough, and you always chayif to take challah from it, no matter what, if you're turning it into a bread, no matter how you're going to prepare that dough. If you make a blila raka, which means a batter, like you'd use for a pancake, for a sponge cake, then the Rabbeinu Tam says it's a difference if you bake it or how you prepare it. The Rash and the Ramban, and that's the way it says it in Shulchan Aruch, disagree. And they say that even by blila ova, it makes a difference how you're preparing it. It makes a difference if you're baking it, if you're baking it into a bread, or you're baking it into a cake. And that's the way we paskin. Begins the Gemara. Tanar Abonim. Hasufkonim. Hasufkonim is like a sponge type of cake. Vadufshonim are flour that's fried in honey. Vaskritin is also some sort of a cake. It's some sort of a wafer that's made with a blila raka. Vachalas hamisris is what we had yesterday. Cholut. That means something that's, and we'll explain it again in a minute, that's when either you fry the flour or the dough in honey and in other sweet items. Vamaduma. Hamaduma is when you have chulin and truma flour mixed together. All of these situations are paturim and a chala, are potter from taking off chala. So when we speak about hamaduma, the Yerushalmi explains two shitas. One shita is that chulin fell into truma. The majority of the flour here is truma, and the halacha is you don't have to take off challah from truma. You only have to take off challah from chulin. But there's another shita in the Yerushalmi that says even if the chulin is the majority, you would still not have to take off challah. Why? So there's a lot of explanations. One explanation is that even though you have chulin that fell into the truma, we always have to be concerned that now you have this mixture and you're giving the kohen challah, you may be giving him something which is truma, and truma is not obligated in challah. Or that even though you have more chulin than truma, you don't have enough chulin on itself to be chayiv in challah. My challah hamistress, what is challah hamistress? Arma b'shu ben Levi, zechol shebalabatim. What we described yesterday, to fry the flour or fry the dough. Arma b'shlokish, halalu myself is saying. All these things were fried, and since they're fried, that's why they're not chay b'chala. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mas ilfas chayovim. If something is fried, it's still chay b'chala. So why are these items not chay b'chala? V'halolu sh'osim b'chama. These items were cooked in the sun. So let's explain. Certainly if something is deep fried, there's no chay b'chala. Because deep frying is like cooking. Just instead of cooking in water, you're cooking in oil. Here we're talking about something fried with no oil or very little oil. And there's a machlokes Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the fried items are mechuy b'chala, and Rish Lakish says they're not. The only thing that everybody agrees is something made in the sun. So Rav Chaim Kanyevsky, in the Sefer Derech Emunah, asks a question. He says, you look in the Targum Yonasan ben Azil, it says that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Vitzekim Shuras Al Shechmam, they had the dough on their shoulders, and the dough got baked from the sun. But now the Gemara just said that everybody agrees that something that's baked from the sun is not considered lechem. So how could that be matzah? So Rav Chaim answers, first of all, according to Rabbeinu Tam, as soon as you have something that's a blila ava, then you mechuy v'chala. So it makes no difference how it got baked. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that he says that since their intention was to have it baked regular, just they didn't have a chance. So if you have a blila ava and your intention was to bake it in a normal fashion, you mechuyiv. A third teretz, he says, interesting teretz, is that when they go out, they went out early in the morning. Early in the morning, the sun is very hot. So even though sun baked is not considered baked, that's only during the day. But when the sun is very hot, it is considered baked. The Shar Mitzrayim Balacha says a different answer. He says there were two times they ate matzah. They ate matzah in Mitzrayim at night. That matzah, which they were mekayim the mitzvah, was baked right. The matzah that they had in the morning wasn't the matzah they were mekayim the mitzvah. Now the other shaila is that the Gemara here says that something baked in the sun is not considered baked. How about something baked in an electric oven? Is that considered baked? Is pshat that you have to have a real fire, and something baked in a real in an electric oven is not baked in a real fire? There are coils, there's electricity, but there's no real fire. Or since it's a normal fashion of baking, it's considered baked and mechuyi b'chala, and you could be yoytze matzah. There's a tshuva from a great grandfather of mine, the Max Avram, where he says that baked in an electric oven is considered baked. And the Masham says that the same way. But again, the Shor HaMetzion Ba'alocha says, l'chatchila, a person should use matzahs that are baked in the old-fashioned way with a real fire. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Hasufkan about the Shonavas, Gritin, Osim, Be'ilfis, if they were made in a frying pan, Chayovim, Bechai Bechal. Becham, if they were made in the sun, Peturim, Tiyuf to the Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says that if it's baked in a frying pan, it's not Chai Bechala. Amu'ula, Amu'lach Rav Shema Lakish, Hacha B'mai Skinen, Shebesiach Lubesoyv Hidbik. That first you heated up the frying pan, and then you put the dough. There, Reish Lakish agrees that it's Chai Bechala. Why? Because since you baked it, since you heated it up the frying pan first, it's similar to an oven. Aval hidbik l'b'soifer v'siach. If first you put in the dough and then you heat up the frying pan, my, what's going to be the halacha? Hachanami de peturim. There won't be a chiv chala. Ask the Gemara if that's what Reish Lakish holds. Let's understand the brisa. Adatani seifa. Instead of the seifa teaching us, osim b'chama b'turim, that if you make it in the sun, you put it from chala, the brisa could have told us a bigger chiddush. Lifnik v'listnik b'dida. It could have been speaking about a frying pan and make the following distinction. B'medvar mamurim, that you chay m'chala, kigon shesich l'b'soif hidbik. The first you heat it up the oven, and then you put in the dough. The frying pan, and then you put in the dough. Av hidbik l'soif hisiach. If first you put in the dough, and then you heat up the frying pan, b'turim. Why didn't the brisa tell us that chiddush? Answers the Gemara, chsurim echsvachitani. This is what you have to explain the brisa. But medvar mamurim, when is the halacha that your chai b'chala shirsich l'psoif hidbik, the first you heated up the frying pan and then you put in the dough, ava hidbik l'psoif r'siach, if you first put in the dough and then you heat up the frying pan, nasa kamisha osim b'chama, it has the same status as if you would have baked it in the sun, upturim. Toshma, another halacha, another brisa. Yoytzim matzah hina, you could use matzah that's half baked, we'll see, or matzah asuya beilfis, or matzah that's made in a frying pan. So you see that matzah that's made in a frying pan is considered bread, it's considered matzah. Answers the Gemara, hachnamish yasich lepsoif hidbik. We're talking that first you heat it up the frying pan and then you put in the dough. My matzah hina. What does matzah hina mean? Ari Yehuda Mishmul, kol sheparsa vein chitin mishachem emenu. That when you take the matzah out of the oven, if you try to break it, there will not be strands in dough. But if there are strands of dough, it's not considered kosher matzah. And that's the halacha. That chitin mishachem, that if you take a matzah and there's still strands that will be connected, is not a kosher matzah. But the Noida Behuda says, you could only do this test when the matzah is still warm. Once the matzah is cold, cools off, so you won't see the chutin meshachim because it's already dry, because it's cool. We really don't own such mevinim chutin meshachim. So what is the shear to know if a matzah is baked? So it says in Shulchan Aruch is karmu paneh, that it looks baked. But there's a distinction. On a thin matzah, it's enough if it's karmu paneh on one side. If it's baked, looks baked on one side. If it's a thick matzah, you need karmu paneha on both sides. But there's one more interesting halacha that people don't realize. The halacha is that let's say a matzah is taken out of an oven. Obviously by hand matzah, you could see this. If a matzah is taken out of the oven and it's not completely baked, it's chutin nimshachim, or it's not karmu paneha, the halacha is you're not allowed to put back in the oven. Because the Taz says, Shulchan Aruch Rav, and the Taz both say, that once you take a matzah out of the oven, the chimutz process is so quick that you can never be sure that it's not chametz, and that's why the halacha is if you take a matzah out of the oven and then you realize that it's not adequately baked, you can't put it back into the oven. Amar Rava, the kain lach mitayda. The same halacha is by lach mitayda that a half baked matzah can be used for kar mitayda. Ask Mar Pshita. Obviously, hoch lechem ksiv. The Torah uses the word lechem by matzah. V'hochem lechem ksiv. So if it's good for matzah, it should be good for the carbon tida. Answers the Gemara. Madatayma hoel v'ksiv v'hikru v'menu echem mikol carbon. That you bring 40 breads with a carbon tida. 10 of each type. And from each one of the 10, one you have to bring for the mizbeach. Echot. Since the Torah uses the word echod, I would say it means shloyito porus, that you shouldn't take one that's broken. V'hocha, since it's not completely baked, I would think command the priest adami. A matzah that's not completely baked should have the same status as a broken matzah and should not be usable for karbataida. Kamash milan, that if it's half baked, it's fine. Meisvei. Ask the Gemara. It says in a braisa, hami'isa, and we'll soon explain what a mi'isa is. Beshamai mechayven, Beshamai says it's chay b'chala, or Beshila patrim, Beshamai patrim, I'm sorry, or Beshila mechayven. Hachalita, and again we'll see that in a minute, Beshamai mechayven, Beshamai says it's chay b'chala, or Beshila patrim. Ask the Gemara, eza mi'isa v'eza chalita, what is mi'isa and what is chalita? Hami'isa is kemach shagab mugoloshim. You take the flour and you put it on top of the hot coals. And a chalita is just the opposite. Mugoloshim agab kemach. You take the coals on top of the flour. Rav Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi ayim mishum aviv zev zeh liftar. Both the chalita and both the meisa are potter for chala. Vamilei, in a different version, is zev zeh lechiv. He holds both the meisa and the chalita are chayiv. Vacham maimrim. And the Chum hold echidzeh. It makes no difference if it's meisa or leisa. Asim beelfis. If it's made in a frying pan, potter, it's not chay bechala. But tanner chayiv. The tanner, if it's made in an oven, it's chay bechala. So before we get to the question that the Gemara wants to ask on Rabbi Yochanan, ask the Gemara beishamay beishilul. Let's understand beishamay beishilul. Beshamai holds Me'isis Potter and Chalitis Chayiv, and Beis Hillel just the opposite. Beis Hillel holds Me'isis Chayiv and Chalitis Potter. But the way the Braisa just explained, Me'is and Chalita, they're not really fundamentally different. Just one is the flour is on top and the heat is on bottom, and one is the heat is on top and the flour is on the bottom. So why would they paskin opposite, reverse in each one? Mashna Chalita, Mashna Me'isa, Mashna Chalita. They should be consistent. Either you hold its potter in both, or you hold its chayiv in both. Says the Gemara, you're right. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmu, v'ken Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'tayim Rabbi Shuman Levi, k'machloikas bezu, kach machloikas bezu. Beishamai and Beishila have to be consistent. Either Beishamai holds both a chayiv, and Beishila hold both a potter, or either Beishila hold both a chayiv, and Beishamai hold both a potter. Both these could have not learned together. Either Beishamai is always machmer, Beishila is always mekel, or vice versa. Tosfos asks an interesting question. In Yerideya, there's a concept of tatar gavar or iloa gavar. Then when you have something cold and something hot meeting each other, so we always need to understand where did the bliya go. From the top thing on the top to the thing on the bottom, or from the thing on the bottom to the thing on the top. So there's one man that says that tatar gover, we always look at the thing on the bottom. And one man that says we look if the heat is on the top, ilah gover. So ask Tosfos, why are we saying that mi'is and chalita have to have the exact same din? One is where the heat is on bottom, and one is where the heat is on top. So say the one that holds that yechayiv. By tato, the machlokes is really if tato gover or ilah gover. What do I say is stronger, the heat on the bottom or the heat on top? So what do I have to say to Me'is and Chalita have to travel together? Tosfos is kasha. The Tosfos answers interesting teretz. Tosfos says we're dealing with a situation we have the exact amount of dough the exact amount of flour to be chayiv in challah. He says, even if you say tatogover, ilogover, when you have the exact amount of flour that's mechuyiv, it's not possible that everything remains on top and the heat is on bottom, or vice versa. When you're dealing with an exact amount, it's impossible to say that. Since it's impossible to say it, it can't be a shail of tatogover, ilogover. But back to what our sugi is. Ketanimius, what did we learn here? The chum oimrim, echad zeh vechad zeh, the chum hold, she'osim be'ilfis, if the maid in a frying pot, potter, they're not chay b'chala. B'taner, if they're made in an oven, chayiv, they are chay b'chala. To yufta the Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan, we learned in Amun Aleph, said that even if it's made in a flour, even if it's made in a frying pot, it's still chay b'chala. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says to Nahi, you're right. My position that something made in a frying pot is chay b'chala is not a position that everybody holds. The Tanya, Yochel Yehei Mi'isa V'chaluta Chayav B'chala, you would think that dough, if it was first fried, it's Chay B'chala, Tamaloy Melechem. Rabbi Hudaimer, Ein Lechem Ela Of B'taner. The only thing that's considered bread that's M'chui B'chala is something baked in an oven. Ask the Gemara, what is the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Huda? The Tanakam is saying that Me'is and Chalita, which is not baked in an oven, is not M'chui B'chala. And Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, what is their disagreement? El Lav, Mais Ilfus Ikvenayu. Says Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yochanan, their machlokes is something that's made in a frying pot. Tanakama sova, Mais Ilfus Chayovin. If it's made in a frying pot, it's still Chayiv Bechala. Rabbi Yehuda sova, Mais Ilfus Peturim. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda's coming to say. Ein Lechem, Ela of a betaner, only if it's baked in an oven. If it's not baked in an oven, it's not mechuy b'chala. So now Rabbi Yochanan says my position is like the Tanakama. The Tanakama doesn't require an oven. The Tanakama says even a frying pot is considered mechuy b'chala. Says the Gemara Loi, we don't necessarily have to say that the machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is about something made in a frying pot. We could say the Kula Alma that everybody agrees, Mas Elfus Paturim, that if it's made in a frying pot, it's not Mechui B'chala. What is the Machalik between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? For Hocha Kagan Shechozov Alfa B'Tanakam Mifugi. If they went and they baked it first in a frying pot, and after they put it into the frying pot, they put it into the oven. Tanakam is Sover, Kivan Shechozov Alfa B'Tanakam. If it was eventually put into an oven, even though it was originally in a frying pot, still lechem krinabe. It's called bread, and it's mechuy b'chala. Yehuda sover, ein lechem ela ofer betanim yikara. It has to first be in an oven. If it was first in a frying pot, the kivan the mikara la betana afya, first it was in a frying pot, not in an oven, lav lechem hu. It's not considered bread, even though ultimately I did put it into the oven. Omer Rava, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda that something that was not originally in an oven, it was first in the frying pot, it's not mechuy b'chala? The ksiv, there's a pasuk in the Techacha that the curse Klal Yisrael receives is v'osu ofu esen nashim lachmechem b'tana echad. There will be a tremendous famine and people won't have money to buy fuel, so 10 women are going to have to share one oven to bake a bread. Teaches us Rabbi Yehuda, lechem ha'ofer b'tana echad, if bread is baked in an oven, kari lechem, that's called bread. V'she'ein ofer b'tana, but if it's not baked in an oven, b'tana echad, and kari lechem. Ask the Sfas Emes, how do I see from this pasuk, a pasuk in Techacha, something about bread being baked in an oven? Where do we see it? So he answers that the pasuk should have just said va'ofu esen nashim betaner echad. 10 women will share an oven. Why did the pasuk have to use the word lachmechem? It's an extra word. Says the Sfas Emes, the extra word of lachmechem is coming to teach me that bread baked in an oven is considered bread. Bread not baked in an oven is not considered bread. Before we start moving away from the sugya, before we mentioned Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam taught us that anything that's made with a belila ova is chayiv b'chala. So the Pais can point out, what would be if somebody's making kishka? Kishka is not a batter, it's a dough. You take flour, you take ataka, you take other ingredients, oil and spices, but it's a belila ova, it's a thick batter, it's not a batter. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you may be mechuyiv and chala if you make kishka. Because although the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass from like the Rabbeinu Tam, the Shach says that you should be machma for the Rabbeinu Tam, that any belila ova you should take chala from. The only heter that I saw, the Torah term. Number one, most people who make kishka in the house don't use the amount of flour. You have to use like about 5 pounds to be mechuyiv b'chala. People don't make such a big kishka. So then you wouldn't be mechuyiv b'chala. But that wouldn't help a caterer because he does make a larger amount. It also could be where something is obvious that it won't be made into anything that looks like bread that has a teraisa in the hammer, you may not be mechuyiv b'chala. But pipashtus, according to the Shach, if you make a large amount of kishka, sometimes people make a large amount of kishka and then they put it into the freezer and take out a little piece every week, you should maybe take off chala without a bracha. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rabba Rav Yosef Ahud Rav Zeira. Yosef Rav Zeira Kamed Ula. Omle Rabba Rav Zeira. Boy Memin Ula. I'd like you to ask Ula the following shayla. Hidbik Mifnim. If somebody put the dough inside, Versiach Mibuchutz, and then he heated up the frying pan from outside, Mahu, what is the halacha? Omle, my Emele. What do you want me to say this? Di'i Aminele. If I will go and ask Ula the Shaila, Amale, Haini myself is. He'll tell me this is considered bread baked in a frying pan. And as we just finished learning, bread baked in a frying pan is a machloikus Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So there's no need for me to ask the Shaila. Ula has nothing to reveal. Amale Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Zeira, Boim name Ula, you should ask a different Shaila. Hidnik Mifnim, if somebody put the dough in the frying pot, and there's a torch, there's a flame on top of the frying pot, and that's the way it gets baked. Mahu, what's the halacha? Amalei, my amalei. What do you want me to ask? Diaminalei. If I will ask to him, amalei, what he will respond to me is roi vaniyam oisim kain. That's the way poor people used to bake. So there's machloikis mefarshim how to explain this. The Sfas Emes explains that what Ula will say is since that's the normal way how poor people bake bread, so certainly that's called real baking and it's mechuyiv b'chala. The Tosfos Rid learns just the opposite, that poor people, when they want to use a frying pan because they have a shortage of fuel, so instead of putting the fuel like we normally do under the frying pan, they have a torch right on top of the food that's being prepared, so they shouldn't have to use so much fuel. So that's called regular frying, and we already know that regular frying is machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, so Ula has nothing to shed light on it.